From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch.
Pete Stoughton is out today. This morning I speak with Jennifer Linsky. She is a board-certified specialist in sport dietetics. She's a certified eating disorder, a registered dietitian, and a pro cyclist. Jennifer has been practicing as a dietitian for 10 years. She raced professionally as a triathlete for 7 of those years. She has a passion for nutrition and for helping people.
Thank you. It's awesome to be here. It's awesome to be back. I was on maybe about a year ago. So
Right.
Under different circumstances.
Yes, absolutely. Much different circumstances. So, you know, one of the things that we're really talking about now in this community, because we're feeling fall upon us, at the same time we're seeing a big spike in cases of COVID. And there's a lot of talk about winter and going inside. And so this is one of the things that you're focused on, as well as, you know, COVID and boosting your immune system and overall kind of a holistic wellness. Can you expand on that?
Sure. Yeah. We are definitely, you know, entering an interesting time. The pandemic is certainly not over, as evidenced by, you know, more specifically our numbers here in Utah, but around the country. So we're still very much in what might be considered our first wave of COVID. And then we have this interesting time of year of flu season starting here in Park City. The weather's already changing. It's getting crisp and cool. Most people are going to start to head indoors in the next few weeks here and spend a little bit more time inside. So we start to talk about immunity in general, and then talk about, you know, what is even the concept of holiday travel look like with immunity and flu season and whatnot. So my recommendations are always to keep it simple and nail the basics. And I think a lot of times people look for these like magic formulas or pills or things that they can do to boost their immunity. But if you aren't nailing the basics, then you're not setting yourself up for a solid foundation in terms of immunity. So the big ones that come to mind are obviously nutrition, exercise, and sleep. And so with respect to nutrition, you can get into the nitty-gritty of what specifically should you be eating to boost your immune system. But I would say making sure that you're eating wholesome, you know, foods that are closer to the ground, less packaged processed foods, foods that don't cause a lot of inflammation at regular intervals. I think a lot of times people struggle with eating regularly throughout the day. So making sure you're fueling your body well. As far as exercise goes, moving your body. Not only does this help with your mental health, but it helps regulate a lot of the hormones that are in charge of your immune system. So if we can get our endocrine system and our hormones in check through regular physical activity, it doesn't have to be intense, 30 to 45 minutes a day, get outside, go for a walk. That will help immensely in terms of boosting your immunity. And then I think the big one that a lot of people miss out on is sleep. 7 to 8 hours a night, people toss around different numbers, but I would say, you know, each person is individual. Certainly 3 to 4 hours is not enough. Maybe past 8 hours might be something reserved for the, you know, some high performance athletes or something like that. But making sure that you're getting good quality sleep, and there are a lot of things that you can do to help enhance your sleep. We won't go into that right now for the sake of time, but those are the big ones. And then the last one that I would address in terms of immunity is stress. And stress can severely deplete our immune system. And stress can come in the form of mental stress, physical stress, or environmental stress. And so making sure that we're identifying our major stressors. In fact, the other day I was having a chat with a client and she was like, I didn't even actually realize I was stressed out, but now that you bring it up, I am. And I think a lot of times we're able to kind of just, you know, push it down, and we're such a go, go, go society. But really, in a huge part of my nutrition practice, it deals with the implications of stress and how it affects the body. And so without going, you know, too much into detail, identifying what your stressors are and finding help, whether that's professional help or even the help of, you know, someone who you trust, someone who you can talk to help reduce your stress, will help immensely with immunity.
So great. So four things. Let's go back to the first one. You talked about nutrition. And what I really like about your approach is you're saying, just let's nail the basics, right? Mm-hmm. So with nutrition, eat, you know, a whole food diet, you probably say mostly green. And I'm wondering, you know, one thing you didn't talk about at all, which I'm curious about, because you're also a professional athlete. So what about supplements? Are you one of those people that believes that really, truly, we should be getting all of our supplements, except maybe vitamin D or a few of those things, from our food?
Right. That's an amazing question, because it is so individualized. I would say my immediate response goes back to the nail the basics, right? If you're someone who doesn't have any major food sensitivities or issues with having to eliminate, you know, food groups or large portions of food where we might be dealing with some sort of discrepancy in your diet, more than likely, if you can nail the basics and if you can eat wholesome food closer to the earth, more natural, you're probably going to get everything that you need. There are special situations. For instance, in the winter time, would it be appropriate to take a vitamin D supplement? Probably so, when the days are shorter. But again, this is on a case-by-case basis. If you're someone who's outdoors a lot in the winter and is getting that direct sunlight, especially that Park City sunlight, which is so intense, you probably are generating enough vitamin D. And that's just one example. So I would say, more often than not, when I'm recommending supplements for someone, it's usually because there's some sort of glaring discrepancy that is unavoidable, or that is perhaps, you know, they're dealing with low iron, you know, and they come to me and say, hey, I know I need something to boost my iron, let's get it back up. That's fine. But then we always want to look at, okay, how can we do this in a more natural form? So I would say supplements are just that, they're supplemental. And we don't need to supplement if our diet is giving us everything that we need.
If you're just joining me on The Mountain Life, my guest is Jennifer Lenski. She's the owner of Park City Wellness, where passion meets health. That is a great tagline. Mm-hmm. I like that. I mean, it really is like what you are, sort of what you embody, in as much as I know you, is that you are very passionate about fitness and nutrition and all these things that kind of wrap into an overall healthy person. And so when you have clients come to you for the first time, I mean, do they think that they're coming to establish an exercise regime or a diet regime, or what do they think they're coming for?
Yeah, you know, I like that you mentioned that, because I think when I think about passion, and I'm by nature a very passionate person, but I think everyone can be passionate. We just have to find what they're passionate about. So interestingly enough, I was just sitting down with someone yesterday and she was like, Jen, you sent me this, you know, I hate to say the word meal plan, but essentially that's what it was. This was helping her structure her nutrition. And she was like, and I don't know, it seems overwhelming. And it just... And I said, whoa, stop. Okay, let's not talk about portions. Let's not talk about timing. Let's talk about, what do you want to do to be a better person? How do you want to feel? What are your goals? What are you passionate about? And then let's evolve or transform this nutrition plan around that. Because the nutrition is just to help support your lifestyle, to help you do the things that you're passionate about. And so I think if we can take each individual person and identify what makes you light up, what do you love to do, what are you passionate about, and how can we use nutrition, exercise, and the concept of wellness to help magnify that or help make it something that is, you know, of the utmost for you? Because who doesn't want to live a very full life? And so that's not to say they need to be passionate about nutrition or they need to be passionate about exercise, but it's using these things to help enhance their lifestyle, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. So I'm curious, I have found, at least among my peer group, my friends, and certainly myself, like we've just gotten off kilter during this whole COVID thing. Lots of people are drinking more alcohol than they normally do. You know, even though I would say that people generally, you know, especially in the spring when this first hit, we were dying to get outside. So lots of people walking around their neighborhoods. So there was that, and it was great. But I would say only one friend that I had that told me that she started back in March. She was curious about intermittent fasting, and she read a couple books on it. And since March, that's what she's been doing. And she's been doing all this exercise, and she looked fabulous. And I thought, wow, you're the first person I've run into that has turned this into just a very positive experience. So I'm kind of curious about, you know, your clients and the makeup. Have people kind of, you know, fallen off their programs and their schedules and the things that they love to do? Or what has it been like?
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like, and I hate to put it into two different categories, but I've seen two camps of people. I've seen individuals who have felt like this disruption in their life has also disrupted things that are innately, that they are motivated by, right? Like, so seeing, meeting up with other people and exercising as a huge motivator and being like, oh my gosh, I have zero motivation. I'm just sitting around the house. I don't feel like I want to do anything. I don't know what my why is. You know, I experience this a lot, particularly with athletes, because a lot of, you know, racing was shut down and you know, kind of congregating and that sort of thing. So I've seen that side of it. And then I've seen the other side where people were able to identify, you know what, this whole COVID thing has really forced me to sit down and think, am I healthy? Like, I'm thinking about my life. I'm thinking about my well-being. I'm thinking about the concept of death, which sounds very grim, but it's, you know, it's caused people to really say, you know what? I have this extra time in my life and I really need to sit down and figure out what do I need to do to get healthy? You know, what do I need to do to stay around longer for my kids? It's sort of this like existential crisis, you know? Right. So these two camps of people, but I would say regardless of which camp you fall in, we can work with that. You know, we can work with motivation and we can also work with this sort of like, I don't know why I'm even here or what I'm even doing. And this brings up all these other sorts of questions of, okay, are you happy doing what you're doing? Are you intrinsically motivated? So it's just been very, very interesting. And then I would say on maybe a more serious note, I've definitely seen an increase in, you know, in the mental health realm, dealing more so with things like depression and anxiety, addictions have definitely skyrocketed, during the pandemic, especially with isolation and stress. You know, stress is a huge trigger for those sorts of mental health issues. So I've also seen that come about, but it's been an interesting journey for me as a dietitian too. And I feel I've grown as a dietitian simply because I'm faced with these new challenges and these new ways of thinking of things and trying to help people. So.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I also think, you know, going back to that fourth sort of pillar that you were talking about, even though now I'm out of order, but there is an underlying stress. And for those of us who have never really experienced a lot of mental health challenges, and might not even be pinpointing it as something that's going on. And maybe we're calling it stress, or maybe it's so much underlying that we don't even realize, and it manifests itself in some different way, like with our diet, or like you say, our lack of motivation to exercise. So it's a very, very curious time. And I believe that, and you can confirm this, that this is a time that we really need to be introspective about these things.
Yes. Yeah. And I think the introspection is key because a lot of times, not that people don't know what they're feeling, but again, our society really promotes, you know, go, 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 don't take a breath, don't stop and think about things. If you're bored, get on social media and entertain yourself with that. You know, we're very avoidant of becoming very introspective. And I think the tension and the stress, although not always palpable and not always something that we're aware of, it'll manifest, like for me, for instance, it manifested in weird little ways where I was like, why am I feeling this way? You know, there's nothing about today that should make me feel this way. And then I really had to sit down and say, yeah, COVID, it's been stressful. Our lives have been disrupted. And as human beings, we thrive with with order and, you know, and regularity. And so this disruption, I think, has caused this underlying stress that's for some people manifesting in a very, you know, a very remarkable way, whether that's addictions or depression or anxiety. And for other people's just in very subtle ways that sort of adds up over time, you know. Now, I was remarking to someone the other day that I just find I thrive on human interaction, and I find that human interaction lately has been odd. It's just been odd, you know, like people don't talk to each other as much, or, you know, a smile to an individual walking along the sidewalk. It's just, you might not get a smile back. And so these are the sorts of things that I think are very subtle, but definitely a manifestation of the stress that we're feeling with this disruption to our world, you know?
So true. I saw a girlfriend today that I haven't seen in a long time, and we met for a hike. And the fact that I couldn't give her a hug when I saw her, and then I couldn't give her a hug when I left, it felt so strange. And I know there are people that say, oh, I'm so glad because hugging's so awkward. I'm so glad that we can't do it. But for those of us who crave that sort of human touch, it's also very disorienting.
Absolutely. And in some way, shape, or form, we are made to be connected to other people. And so this pandemic has caused a disruption to that connection, whether it's that we can't hug, or that we are now seeing people, we're seeing our friends behind masks, and, you know, we can't see their smiles right now. You know, it has been a massive disruption. And I think acknowledging it is the first step. And riding the wave, you know, riding the ups and downs of this, but also having support, you know, having someone you can talk to. I was just actually right before we hopped on, I was just thinking through an article that I'm writing about, asking for help and having a therapist. And I think, you know, we don't necessarily all need to have a professional therapist that we go to, but we need to have that sort of outlet where we can express ourselves and, say how we're feeling without judgment, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is sort of what you do. I mean, it's very interesting in your practice because, and I guess I call it a practice. Do you call it? What do you call it?
Private practice. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right. So it runs the gamut from nutrition counseling. You know, I have different hats that I put on as a dietitian, whether that's helping someone nail their nutrition, or dial it in, or start, you know, develop the habits to eat healthier, to the counseling side of things, which might be more about behavior change or more about depression or anxiety and how that affects someone's relationship with their weight or with food or with their body or with other human beings. So there's the art of the counseling piece, and then there's the science of the nutrition piece. And depending on the individual, it's very much tailored to their specific needs. So I think if you were to sit with me on a bunch of different sessions with clients, they would have very different tones, very different approaches, just depending on the individual, if that makes sense. Because food is such an important part of our lives, and it can go in so many different directions, from the health and wellness piece to the mental health piece, et cetera. So
what about food and immunity? I mean, I know that immunity, you know, as we talked about sleep briefly before, I mean, sleep is so important for having a strong immune system. But let's talk real briefly before we get to sleep about some of the foods that we really need to be paying attention to boost our immunity.
Right. So when we think about, if we simplify it and we think about immunity, and we think about the opposite of immunity would be anything that causes inflammation or wear and tear on the body. So let's talk first about the foods and the things that we should probably be moderating or eliminating. Those would be packaged processed foods, too much caffeine, too much alcohol, too much sodium, anything that increases inflammation in the body, anything that if you wake up the next morning and you feel puffy or you have a headache or something feels not good or it causes you, you know, to feel bloated, those are signs of inflammation, you know, causes your eyes to be puffy or you break out with acne. These are all things, and generally they're more processed, more packaged. things that aren't meant to, you know, that aren't the major food groups. Those would be things that cause inflammation and reduce our immunity. Things that increase our immunity would be, like I stated earlier on, closer to the earth, less packaged and processed, right? So instead of the potato chips, eat a potato. You know, instead of the Cheerios, eat oatmeal, right? So getting closer to the earth and reducing the amount of ingredients in the foods that you eat. I had a client once where my challenge to her was, okay, whatever you eat, try and have it be less than 7 ingredients. And I think she actually came back to me and she's like, cottage cheese, my cottage cheese, I believe has 8 ingredients. What do I do? I was like, okay, well, let's go to 10 ingredients then. Right. But you get the point, right? So more wholesome natural foods. And then if we're thinking about inflammation, color is so important. And so what has color? Generally fruits and vegetables, right? So if we can get an abundance of color and we think about all the phytochemicals and all the antioxidants in fruits and vegetables, that is key. So if we make that the hallmark of our diet and supplement in with a little bit of protein, it can be animal protein or plant-based protein, you're going to nail it.
Early on in the interview, you mentioned something about balancing our hormones. And, you know, we think, well, as women and when we're approaching, you know, midlife and beyond, we have to start thinking about hormones. And, you know, I'm at this point where I have noticed, you know, holding on to more weight around my middle, which is something I never did before. And I think it's a hormonal thing. But I'm not quite sure where to go with it.
Yeah. So here's the interesting piece is we've been talking a lot about stress, right? Okay. Menopause is a stressor on the body. It's a process that you're going through or a process that women go through that is a stressor on the body. What is the main hormone that's produced under stress? It's called cortisol. And a lot of people have heard of this cortisol. The interesting thing about stress and cortisol, which is produced under stress, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, is cortisol is made of the exact same building blocks as a lot of different hormones, more specifically your sex hormones. So if those building blocks of testosterone or estrogen or progesterone or insulin or any of your other hormones, or even your sleep hormones, if they're going to produce cortisol and being shunted in that direction, then that means that all these other hormones aren't getting the building blocks that they need, which to quite simply means that you're going to experience an imbalance in hormones without getting too sciencey here, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're producing a lot of cortisol under stress, that's going to affect this whole cascade of hormones. And for you specifically, estrogen and progesterone. So you might be seeing what we would call estrogen dominance, or not enough progesterone is being made. And one of the ways that manifests is weight gain around the midsection. So women are like, what is going on? Like, it's just going right there to my belly and it's not comfortable. So this would be something to identify as, okay, how do we mitigate stress or create a resiliency towards stress, whatever that might be. And some of it might be unavoidable. Menopause is unavoidable. It's an unavoidable stress. But how do we take what your body's going through and mitigate that stress response through diet, exercise, potentially supplementation? This is actually an instance where I would bring in supplementation and look at some supplements that might help the adrenal glands and help moderate that stress response. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we're all stressed out. We just need to,
everyone needs to buy their own private island.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I think that's what's happening here in Park City is everyone's looking at it as their own private island. Let's move to Park City, as we all know that, you know, we've had an influx of new people here. But it's interesting because I think for a lot of us, we will say, go to our annual checkup, we'll have our blood work done, we'll find out where we're deficient in hormones, and we'll use hormone replacement to fix that. Whereas if we did a little bit of research and worked with someone like you, we would learn that there are ways to decrease your cortisol in a dietary way, and, you know, in just a lifestyle way. So let's talk a little bit about exercise. You know, you know, trends in over the last handful of years, maybe even decades, you know, the burst workouts, the interval workouts, the 7-minute workouts versus, you know, these long, slow endurance types of things that I think before we thought, oh, those are great fat burners. But where are you on all of that? I mean, I know it takes a blend, right? But
yeah. You know what? It's interesting because we talked about this concept of passion and things that you love to do. And I can give someone the best nutrition recommendations or the ideal way of working out and how much weight training and how much endurance and how much high intensity. But if that person's not going to stick with it and they don't like it, it doesn't matter at that point, right? So I always set the foundation of tell me the things that you like to do, that you enjoy to do, or if you don't know, or if you think you don't like exercise. Our bodies love movement. If we start to feed it movement, it will crave it more and more. So initially there might be this kind of hump to overcome in terms of, I don't like exercise at all. But I think first and foremost is identifying what do you love to do and that you have no issue doing for the rest of your life. Let's start there, right? And then if we can add in these a bit more specific recommendations around, okay, yes, weight training is good for your bone health and for making sure that you stay agile and strong as you age. Very important. But does that mean you need to go and lift weights in the gym? Or can you do something like hiking up a hill where you're, you know, you're pressing against the earth and you're putting more stress on those bones because you love to hike? You know? So I think we can look at, okay, what's ideal? Cardio, get some strength training in there, get some flexibility, but let's use what you really love to do and figure out how to create a strength training, endurance, and flexibility program within that. Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense. Yeah, it's great. It's, you know, going back to that thing that you're talking about so much is find the thing that you love, and it might be your one thing, you know, whether it's dietary. I think you probably remember my former co-host Tim Henney with his green smoothie. He talked about that all the time, and it really changed his life. It was just that one thing. And if we can all find that one thing, whether it's diet, exercise, the way we sleep, you know, some people need to take an afternoon nap, myself included. And that seems to help me along. So that one thing. Well, we're about out of time here. So I just want to know, where people can find you and where do you practice out of, and do you have a gym there? Because I know this is a thing now, people feeling like they can go into a gym with other people, or do they prefer a private sort of situation?
Yeah, you know, interestingly enough, with COVID, most things are virtual right now. So I do see clients in a private office in Park City, close to Main Street. And so if they're interested in doing that, I think I would take that on a case-by-case basis, just depending on, you know, the health guidelines and where we're at with COVID. So most everything is virtual right now, but they can find me at jenniferlenski.com, which is the Park City Wellness website. And of course, connect with me on social media, Jennifer Lenski or Park City Wellness. I think the best bet, I'm one of those people who communication through email is my preference when they reach out. If it's in my inbox, it's going to get attended to. So going through my website, Jennifer Lenski, that's all one word, jenniferlenski.com, and filling out the information form, I will get back to them, contact them, and usually set up a consult within the first 24 hours that they reach out. So
that sounds great. And Lenski, Lentzke.
That's right. Yes, it is spelled differently than it sounds, but jenniferlenski.com. If you search me on Instagram, you'll see a lot of pictures of me on bikes with beautiful Park City foliage in the background. So it's not hard to identify me. Or you might be around town. I'm the one with the big smile when I'm riding my bike.
Yeah, that's great. Well, just briefly, how are you doing as an athlete who's, you know, you've not been able to race this year? Have you been doing virtual things? And
well, it's been interesting. I'm not, definitely not a techie person. So I did not gravitate to the virtual thing. What I did was I just used this year to get stronger and to spend some more time outside in nature, which is, like we talked about, passion. That's my happy place. So there was a lot of internal therapy going on the bike, you know, on the trails and that sort of thing. So no, not a lot of racing there, you know, starting to get back to some racing. On a personal level, I think it's a little early, because we're seeing with some of these races that are popping up, even with the masks and social distancing, a few weeks after that you know, individuals are getting COVID. So I'm going to stay away for a bit here until, you know, I feel intuitively that it's safe. But yeah, it's been a year of athletic growth, not a lot of racing, but sometimes we need these seasons of just doing some introspection and, you know, reminding ourselves of why we do what we do, you know?
Yeah, good. Well, it's been a pleasure having you back on the show. Jennifer Linsky of Park City Wellness is my guest. All the best to you. Thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks, Lynn. Thanks for the chat. And I look forward to seeing y'all around town from a socially distanced viewpoint.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.